for my friend. Sanity is what keeps us together. Type thing.
Y'all, we're not gonna have no pre-pod conversation because we can't use any of this.
Nope. Sure can. How's y'all weeks been?
Chaotic.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Look, chaotic to say the least.
It's been crazy, honestly, too.
Work is being the bane of my existence.
Yeah. I just posted the thing today. I was like, Lord, thank you for my job, but like if the lottery's in my immediate future, like lay it on me.
Look here. Lottery, come on.
The way I've been praying about it.
Have y'all been playing?
If you are leading me. No, I've been praying about the lottery and
only
playing
if it hits like my threshold, it has to be over like a couple million for me to tap in.
No. Look here.
See, God is not in the blessing list. Right. I need to tap in sooner because I bet there's a lot of people that are like that. Me included. Because if it's over, when I hear it's like 1 trillion, I'm like, yeah, oh, yep. I gotta play.
Gotta get my numbers.
That's the only time I ever do it.
Same.
Harry always plays. I'm just like, you know, we need groceries this week, right?
How often does he win?
Actually, it's been a couple of years, but you know,
how often does he play? Better question. And how many dollars
times a week?
How many dollars is that?
All of his family members, they play. Like his uncle almost banks on winning as his annual salary. How do you do that?
What? No. Annual salary? Yeah,
like he.
Now that's crazy. Man.
He will win at least twice a year, and
I say he's doing well.
Never for less than like 25.
Okay.
So what's your lifestyle?
How much of that are you setting aside to play lottery again?
Yeah.
A lot of it.
And then where do you live for $25,000?
I don't know. Well, I know he lives down the street from you.
Oh, so he's making more than that. He has to be. Only source of income.
He has a ice cream truck. And
does he have an ice cream truck, Snowfall?
I ain't asking no questions. All I know is we went over there to check on
grandma. Right back.
We went over there and checked on grandma, and she was like, "What time is it?" And it was like 11:45. She's like, "Here's my piece of paper. They'll know exactly what to do. Just go over there."
Not they'll.
I was like, "Okay." We went to go play her numbers. Even grandma goes and plays in all three. She goes Virginia,
DC,
Maryland.
An appropriate thing for grandmas to do.
Yes. Yeah,
the rest of the family needs to.
Everybody, all of them, both of his uncles.
Well, I mean, somebody has to keep the lottery going.
This tradition going.
And they do.
And they do.
I think the guy that hit really big was in New Jersey and he was 81. People were like, "You don't need it."
Right. At all.
Also, are you looking for
that part?
A sugar something.
That part. Like, I just need, like, come on now. I just need a little bit of, a little bit of something.
All right,
that's what he gonna tell you back.
You gonna give me a little something? I'll give you a little something.
Carol, you want it?
It depends on what he looks like.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
I mean, I'm proud of you for having standards. You know?
Is that what we're calling this?
Right.
I mean, money talks, but...
So... Just kidding.
No, finish the sentence. I'm intrigued to know what else talks.
Nothing.
Oh, okay. You sure?
I'm changing my life. I'm wholesome all 2024.
You're changing your life. So yes, that means that it's
somewhere else. Did you say you were being wholesome?
Wholesome.
And the truth comes out.
Wholesome all 2024.
Yeah.
Hey. Awesome. Yeah. For the rest of it? Or like, that's how you started off? Yeah.
Does it matter?
I still have questions. It's clarifying.
You all in my business. Don't do that.
Trying to understand the basis.
You in my business. Don't
of the change.
That.
Okay.
I said what I said.
Carol said mind your business. Just mind your business.
All right. Should we start the pod?
Turning over a leaf. Not sure if it's a new one or not.
Come on, leaf.
Change.
Well, you too can.
Oh, God. Well.
Hey, it's Saya.
It's Tiffany.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Carol.
And this is what keeps us together.
Basically, the group chat in your head.
Living rent free.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Hey, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
Yep.
Woo, woo.
All right. This week's episode is not sponsored by, but it should be, I guess, Cutwater, since it's in front of me right now. I just got this espresso martini. I've tried it. It's pretty good. I prefer mine with bourbon, but this one's made out of vodka. Also, Tiff and I are on this like espresso martini kick right now, and we want to know where the best one is in DC. So if you have a suggestion for us, I kind of want to do like an espresso martini tour.
Ooh. I was at a place recently that had an espresso martini flight.
Mm.
I just went to, I told you I went to Vitagio Brothers in MGM. Mm-hmm. Theirs was spectacular.
Okay. Was it,
and it was cute. It had a cute little like smiley face on top. They gave it to me.
Oh.
It was really cute.
Was it out of the cocoa powder?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I had them do it with bourbon. It was really, really good.
Okay.
But yeah, I kind of want to do a tour this summer. where we just all we do, you know, we just try and find the best one. So if you have a suggestion for us, let us know. This one's pretty good. It's just really strong.
That's how all cut waters are. Cut waters, like, we know what you're here for. Here, damn.
You ask for anything else, you know what this is.
Right, I think this was like 12.5. Yeah, that's pretty.
I watched somebody double fist one of those during a concert, and I don't think they were prepared. Because once it got through the second, they thought they were good, and they weren't good. Yeah.
The margarita ones are the strongest, and they are strong.
We have Long Island ones in the fridge that have been there for over a year because I had one, and I was like, no.
Yeah, that one's not good.
It's trying to put me on the floor.
This one's 13%.
Jesus.
We'll put that right there for later.
Get this party started. I'm going to save you later.
For later.
Right. Okay. All right. So this week, we're going to be talking about bullies, I guess, and overall people who have, we're not talking about our schoolyard ones. I mean, I guess we could technically, but talking about our adult bullies at this point. Talking about our adult bullies and whether or not, like, what's going on behind that? What's happening? Why is it that we are still seeing people take it from the schoolyard straight onto the Twitter streets /
corporate
areas / TV / social media. So that being said, the song of the week, I think, should be kind of centered on that, right? Like, maybe one of our favorite diss songs or ones where they have some type of beef that people have laid on tracks.
Okay.
Anybody got, didn't necessarily have to be your favorite, but I mean, hey, as of late, we've had some new ones coming through. So who wants to go first?
I got two.
Okay.
Hit Him Up, Tupac.
Okay.
That opening line is just like, it, like, my soul every single time. Like, every single time I'm mad, that's the first thing that pops into my head. First of all, and the click you claim. And then my second one is Ether, Nas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can listen to both of those, like, I don't know, on my way to church or like work or something. I don't know. Like,
wait a minute.
I really enjoy
not preparing for the work.
Not where I thought you were going to go with this
at all.
I don't know. Like, if I'm just like in the car, I don't know, driving, like,
transitioning.
Yeah, like, it gets sunny, put the windows down.
Yeah. It's feeling good outside. Let's be hateful.
Like, yeah, those are my like first, like, oh, summer.
Not the emphatic. Yeah. Well, it's warm outside. Let's be hateful.
Yeah.
In terms of bully, any Nicki Minaj song, I guess, is what comes to mind. Sorry.
Not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
In terms of the first song that came to mind when we talked about this was Back to Back. I think largely because that year that back and forth happened, I was Meek Mill's tombstone for Halloween. Because his career was over in my mind.
Ooh, yeah. In your mind, or actually?
Well, ask Diddy. Okay. moving right along.
See, I told you. I just keep getting bigger and bigger.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. I shot at a lot of people right there.
Wow.
We were just getting started.
Right.
That's just the
warm-up.
Maybe
I'm the bully.
I'm about to say, good Lord.
Talk about me. Like, sheesh.
Okay. I would say, I think, I definitely want to piggyback.
Not you cut her off.
No, great.
Turn her mic off.
Stupid.
Okay. Piggyback, I think Ether definitely is one of my faves for sure. But the recent stuff, the last 24 hours, as far as I'm concerned, that Rick Ross, I don't know how he got in there, but he did some things. And I'm not saying that it was like the best out of all of them, but I rather enjoyed it. I listened a couple times. Yeah. I, you know, it's petty and I like petty.
Y'all were talking about it. I was just like, and listened to him like, what are they so hype about? And then the outro came on. I was like, oh.
Also, he got straight to the point.
He did. There was no wait, no lead in. He was like, let me just, hey, you got things to say. He didn't wait for anybody to let him know for sure that he was talking about him. I think I knew about Rick's at the same time as Drake's. I didn't even know Drake had mentioned Rick because Rick was like, oh, you got something to say? Give me no time.
It didn't even take all that for like what he said.
It didn't.
It didn't even warrant.
Ross was waiting to get it off. Yes. And that's what you can tell. Yes. That's why I like it so that's much. He's like, oh, you mentioned me?
I had to go back and like go on like Rap Genius or something to figure out like where he said it, like what he said about him. And I'm like, this is what warranted this.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't warranted at all, but it was fun. And I enjoyed the pettiness of it.
It was fun.
Also, you're the bully.
I am. I must admit on that one.
Sometimes we're on the bully side. It's not right, but also
if it's funny, I'm all in.
It's petty. And I think I don't even remember like a lot of the bars from the song. I've granted I've only listened to it twice, but I just white boy. I just will never forget that. It will live rent free in my mind.
Well, I'll never forget. In light of all of that bullying, because I surround myself with kids all the time, one of my songs is shout out to Gracie's Corner. Do not be a bully.
not you being on the other side chastising us.
But not really, because my classic go-to is I come in a club shaking my dreads, throwing these bows and busting these heads. Come, because in real life I am the bully.
Because you're
and
saying I'm okay with you're that. Not using your words.
No, pull up.
There's no words that need to be said. Pull up on that. We don't need to say words. Right. You look at me crazy and it might turn into a whole situation. So it's
wow. Mm. Stay ready so you ain't got to get ready.
That part.
I guess not.
Mm-mm. Wow, this took a turn. It's not what I thought this conversation was going to be about.
Isn't it though?
I just wanted to give people both ends of the spectrum. You don't have to be a bully, but if you look at me crazy, you're going to get these hands.
Range.
I didn't start it, but I'm going to end it.
Yeah.
That part.
That's always the energy, I think.
Yes.
Fair enough. Okay, so I thought about this topic for us to discuss this week because Amanda Seales has been getting a lot of smoke as of late.
A lot of smoke.
For the video that she posted about basically the community that she loves, Black people, and as a whole in terms of like the industry, not showing her the love that she is saying she puts into the community. So from that video, some people took it upon themselves to write some opinion pieces, op-eds. Essence being one.
We're looking
one.
At you, Essence.
Essence. Right. Is it Giro? How do you say it? G-R-I-O.
Griot.
The Griot wrote one. Essence wrote one. And then I think there's one more that I can't remember off the top of my head. But those are the two that I actually read. And then Amanda responded from those. Yeah. Her dislike for these people writing opinion pieces. So I guess where do we want to start this conversation?
Well, maybe let's like dive into what her initial video was about. Okay. Like not being invited to award shows and stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, me. Okay. Yeah. Essentially, Amanda opened up this conversation by posting a video where she was talking about how she has never been invited to the NAACP Image Awards, mm-hmm. the BET Awards, even though she hosted it during the COVID. 2020 pandemic. And was there one more?
I think it was just after that. I think it was just
like in general.
In general, like
okay. Yes. Yeah, but how like
politically Black events?
Yeah, how she's pro-Black constantly, but is like not being invited into these very pro-Black spaces, and how that is like a confounding scenario that she has found herself in, and you know, just like how it seems like it's endemic of like the industry and the content that she loves and, you know, pours into, doesn't pour into her.
Right.
But also now it feels like to me, the pylon kind of feels like there people are accusing her of being rude and mean and being a bully. It kind of feels like now they're bullying her to me.
Okay.
Is kind of like what I felt reading and watching all this stuff.
Yeah. I definitely don't think that that's incorrect. People definitely love a pylon.
Yeah.
Especially sure. on social media.
Yeah. And once I think also, you have given a platform to something that before was like this unspoken thing. Mm-hmm. It's also like, oh, okay. Since we talking now, mm-hmm. we've been nice and trying not to say nothing before. But now since you're giving us a platform to say something, we feel inclined to say how we truly feel, or at least our opinion about it. And I guess even to me, the way it really feels more like a bullying situation versus maybe even a pylon is because there's the conversation isn't being had in a way in which there could be a productive outcome, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, like if you're to me, I think it's different from bullying is very different than and maybe even piling on is maybe a little bit of it, but I think you could have had constructive conversations. She mentioned something that was a concern of hers. And we're calling it out, I think, as bullying, or at least people who are on social media are calling it out as bullying because there wasn't a constructive conversation had after that. It was kind of like, you're calling us out. So instead of us saying, oh, maybe we do have some accountability, or maybe it's something that we need to come together and have a conversation about it because you're feeling hurt, it was more like, well, this is how you've been wrong.
And yeah.
We're going to, you know, air out all your business versus in having, you know, a real conversation.
Yeah. That's where, yeah. I definitely don't think it was like anybody's intent to have a constructive conversation. I think
that they, yeah.
yeah. I think that they really were like, oh, you think we're wrong? Well, let us tell you how you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the place that people responded from. And it's definitely interesting too, because even Essence, like it seems like their social media and their writers, like whoever manages the social media and whoever the writers are, did not confer before they posted whatever they posted. Because like, I think Essence like responded to the video and was like, you're right. Like, thanks for highlighting this. Like, we'll do better. We yeah. like want to work with you going forward. And then there were two op-eds that were like, let me tell you why Amanda Seale's hubris is her real problem. It's like, wait a minute.
Hubris.
That's not even my word. That's from the title of the article.
That's fine. Okay. I still don't know.
It's like pride and ego.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Yeah. I also don't, there's a lot of, to me, assumptions around. I mean, I guess we can assume a lot about how Amanda Seale acts because we found like Insecure days, we saw almost the entire cast hanging out. We never saw Amanda hanging out with the rest of the cast.
It certainly to be a trend, which yeah. is why I think that there is a fodder around like
how she acts in certain
how places. She must act. It's yeah. an assumption.
But we never heard anyone who actually had a problem with her like say, this is why I don't like Amanda. We've only heard Amanda's side of what happens to her, like getting kicked out of that, was it like the Emmys party?
Yeah, the one that was put on by Issa Rae's
publicist.
Yeah, yeah, and then she got kicked out of that. And then her not being on The Real mm-hmm. for very long. And I think she only did like one season. If she did the whole season. I don't think
it was that much.
Not doing that. And then, I don't know. There's just a lot of talk around her alleged behavior. But also, I think she's very opinionated. And I think a lot of times people don't want to deal with people who have strong opinions. And so it's in people that will speak up when things, they feel there's injustices happening. So I don't know, again, because I've never heard anyone say it. I don't know if it's an actual, I have an issue with you because you have an attitude, or I don't like that you're like shaking the table or like not letting status quo or just going along with stuff rock. You
it
know what I mean?
It gives angry Black woman syndrome. Like not her specifically, but it's when you have a label put on you that maybe you're tough to work with, or because you're so opinionated, like as a Black woman, you should go along to get along type deal. And because she doesn't, then you're problematic. Like you're not necessarily voicing your opinion or operating based off of the facts that you might have found or whatever have you. It's, you're just angry. You're an angry person. And we want good vibes, butterflies and rainbows over here. And if you're not coming with that, then you don't fit into the scope of what we're looking for whatever it is. And I mean, I can't necessarily say I agree with everything that she says. But I also operate off of everyone's entitled to an opinion, and you can like it or not like it, but it doesn't mean you shut somebody out because of it either.
Yeah. I definitely think like BET Awards are wicked. Like asking someone to host your show, put on their own production during the pandemic, help your whole brand out in like this really like sticky spot in finite time, and then never inviting them to the award shows is
crazy.
Wild.
That is right. Crazy. But also it's even like if you don't like me, like you, I'm sure there's 1,000 people in the audience that are not liked by
sure.
whoever. So her not being liked is also not an excuse.
Oh, right. If you didn't like me, then why would you make me the host of your award yeah. show?
Because I needed you. Not yeah. because not
well,
because
nobody yeah,
but,
else.
But I'm liked enough to be that person.
Right. Yeah. But not enough for you to bring me back when you don't need me anymore.
Right.
But also, again, I'm sure there's a ton of people in the audience that are not liked by someone. You right. know what I mean? Like that's not the, I guess, the bar.
Sure.
For getting yeah. invited somewhere.
Yeah. Sure. I think this, what this reminds me of, what she is dealing with, I think it speaks a lot to the trials and tribulations a lot of Black people have to deal with in that space. And I think that that's something, too, that is a part of the narrative that people aren't taking into consideration when you consider trying to be on large platforms, but also being very pro-Black. When you're talking about even our pre-civil rights movement people, there was always having to be a compromise, right? So there's always this thing of like, there's somebody in the room who's like, no, this is our staunch line. And there's somebody who's all the way on the opposite, and there's somewhere where you fall in between. Right. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of the things that we put on the table that were things that we wanted to have happen didn't all happen in the way in which we thought they would. And I'm sure if we had social media back then, there was probably going to be an Amanda Seales type person who wasn't liked by a lot of people because they were always saying, why do we have to take a step back from the things that we should be really demanding? Yeah. Right. And so I think, and then you also consider social media, the TV and how those things work. A lot of times when you hear any of the actors even talking, a lot of them, whether or not they're on their pro-Black stuff or just pro-me stuff, a lot of them have to take compromising positions in order to even get themselves to places that they want to be. Mm-hmm. So I think for her, she's probably, what I'm gathering from this is that she has wanting to push things to a point where people aren't comfortable with being able to put them at, but know that they're right, right? Like, yes, what you're saying is probably exactly what we should be doing. But can we get that on network television? Can we get this on X, Y, and Z? And when she doesn't want to put, when she doesn't want to compromise, she's left the reel, right? She's left places that were asking her to compromise where she didn't want to compromise, which is great for her as far as that's concerned. But then she gets labeled as being maybe difficult to work with when I don't think that that's it as much as I'm asking you to do something that you may not be comfortable with doing, or you know that your people aren't comfortable with doing. They're telling you straight up, no, we're not going to do this because it's too whatever, right? Okay. And then if that happens, she then gets put in this awkward position of having to decide, is this the line that I want to toe, or am I going to leave? I think that she's just not willing to do that, and that makes her look, I'm assuming, that makes her look or come across as very difficult. Because if you're walking away, once I've already negotiated a contract for you, we've already worked out numbers and all this other stuff, and now I have to go find somebody else because you've walked away from whatever we've already agreed on because it doesn't meet, maybe check all your boxes. Sure, that may make their life difficult, but she's trying to enhance maybe in her mind, she's trying to enhance the overall vision, and y'all's vision doesn't align. Mm-hmm. So that's what it feels like to me.
Okay. I think just to play the other side of the coin, I think if you agreed to something, you signed a contract and then you backed out of it, then we're having a different discussion about like what you're advocating for versus like what you've agreed to. But I don't know that any of that has transpired. So my thing about it is my perception of it is that like, pushing towards change that is sometimes really like at the end of a spectrum to a certain group of people that have never considered certain options that you're presenting as like, this is a requirement for me, requires tact.
Yeah.
And that sometimes to me may be what's missing from the equation. I think that there's a lot that is like, I'm fighting for like us, and I don't know like why this is seen as like me being adversarial. But I think that there's like this like, lack of ability of like maybe seeing herself from another person's perspective is sometimes what creates this divide. I don't think that she's wrong for what she wants, but I do think that like sometimes the way that she tries, from my perception, to approach things is what creates friction.
Yeah.
It's not actually the ask. It's how you go about the ask. Mm. Because like, even to your point, like if we look at Issa, like we've never heard a thing like bad about Issa being said, but Issa does move the ball forward a lot in terms of being pro-Black, in terms of getting Black artists put on, Black businesses put on, Black people put on. Like, she does a lot of that forward movement, but like doesn't do it in the same way that Amanda tries to go about it. And I'm not saying that that's like gold standard or that's the only way to do it. All I'm saying is it's a more tactful way of like making friends in the industry and also achieving the end goal. Maybe it is because you learn to play nice, and maybe that's not Amanda's objective, and that's okay. But like, there's also another side to that coin that sometimes has a fallout.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted us to move us into, from this conversation, the idea of being liked versus being good at your job. Because that also came up in one of the op-eds. I can't remember which one, but they were basically saying that what's more important, like being good at your job or being liked. And I think both things impact your upward mobility in the workplace and professionally. So have you all encountered that? Has it been a barrier for you in your jobs? Do you care?
I was about to say, the interesting part about this, I think, in general, is that most people, nepotism is how we've gotten into that, and nepotism playing into like all of like your mom and dad know me, or your cousins know me, and we do a lot of the same things, and we enjoy a lot of the same things. Whether or not the person doing the job feels like it's important, it's pretty important to the people who are hiring you and who are trying to cultivate a certain culture at your job. So whether or not I care, I know for a fact everyone else does. And I know that that has for sure impacted the way in which others have perceived me at my job, right? Like, I'm very much like, I just want to come in and do what I want to do and do the things that you've asked me to do and move on. I don't need to have this whole relationship, but I also know you hear people moving up a ladder based on who they know, where they're, you know, or getting into a career field based on who they know, whether or not they play golf together or their kids or they have kids, right? Like, you even hear people talking about they want a person who is a family person or all of those nuances. So it may not be like, oh, I really want to be liked by these people, but I also know it plays a role. I just feel like it plays a role.
But I think you're bringing another element into the conversation, which is commonalities, which there's can be a Venn diagram between like likability and commonalities, but I don't think it's like, it is the requirement. Like, we can have a lot of things in common and I can just not like you.
That is fair. That is fair. Sure. Yes. I don't know. I kind of feel like it. I feel like it's, I hear what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying, because I think that I can very well enter into a lot of spaces and put on a front and never like any of you people, but you think I do, and that get me moved along for sure. However, comma, for me to even, sometimes to even get in that doorway, somebody has to have not only commonalities, but at least liked my personality enough to be like, she's cool, right?
Yeah. You know? No, you're and that's cool. Where I'm agreeing. You're cool. Yeah, yeah, I think that there's that element for sure.
I think that sometimes I ask, why does it have to be or instead of both? Like, why can't you be liked and do your job well? But I also understand that there's ebbs and flows within the workplace of sometimes doing the work makes it uncomfortable where nobody wants to like you. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine with that. In my own personal experience, going from a peer and maybe we tolerating each other, because maybe I can pinpoint the lack of commonality and that makes me not like you too much. And maybe because I am very blunt and firm and
okay, Amanda,
unbudging with how I feel or like what I'm willing to tolerate at work makes you not like me so much. But then, you know, obviously there's a job that still needs to get done. You don't have to go home with me and I don't have to go home with you. Let's get this work done. But at some point in time, you realize that I think once you come to the conclusion that everybody is working towards the same goal of getting the job done, then it makes it, it kind of helps smooth the likable piece out. But then transitioning from peer to manager, especially with people who've been there longer than you or whatever have you, or they feel like there's some sense of entitlement in the role, then, and that, I mean, look, let's talk about it. It could be at work, it could be at church, it could be a lot of places where a title makes people immediately stop to like you. It makes you not a likable person because of whatever personal feelings that individual has. But it also, I mean, because then how people respond to you then creates the adverse effect of likability. Like, well, I don't really like you that much either. But again, we still got to get the work done. Like, you know, I think just establishing goals and developing the focus, we don't need to like each other.
But you guys haven't seen, like, I have seen it where someone who is not that great at their job has been promoted has been like
all the time.
They have like this like path that's been laid out for them because they are the golden goose at work, but they're not good at their job. But because they're like, they've been, I don't know, like pushed along a certain path that maybe someone who is good at their job, but is not as liked as them, is not given that same privilege.
For sure. Agreed.
Or even like, I've had an experience where when layoffs needed to happen, the person who was giving attitude, wasn't the most liked at work, whatever, was the first one to go. And they could have been like, oh, we're cutting your position, or we have budget cuts in your department or whatever. But it's very clear.
Yeah.
We needed a reason to let you go. And before, we didn't really have one. And so this is the perfect opportunity to get rid of you because you're causing a disdain in the work culture or what have you.
I think it feeds back into the, if you're not going along to get along.
Or you're just a B. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people, like, they are causing discord. And then some people who are just rude. You know what I mean? Like,
agreed.
There's a little, there could be a little bit of both.
It could be.
For sure. And I think it's also tough, though, because the likability scale is only one-sided.
Yeah.
So like you may not like your boss either, but they're already there.
Yeah.
Like they already have the job.
Right.
So it's kind of like you have to like figure out either how to be liked, how to find commonalities, or how to just do your job well enough that
no one notices.
Yeah. Or no, like do your job well enough that how much someone does or does not like you is not part of the equation, right? Like the like whatever you're delivering is irrefutable.
And that's harder said than done.
Oh, I don't want to believe that. So I'm not going to talk to it.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily disagree. But yeah, I guess like
for days, I know that's okay. Sorry. I know that to be true. It is.
From my experience, I've never seen someone go to a man and be like, you're not really well liked here.
Yeah. I think about that a lot at work. And also like men don't have to do a lot of the administrative, like fun parts of work. Like so-and-so is having a baby. We're planning a surprise baby shower. So-and-so is having a birthday. Like we're getting them a card. It's never a man. It's never men that do that. It's never men that plan the parties, that do the things for like the holidays.
They show up, they eat the food, they go, oh, well, it's good to see y'all.
And hardly do they acknowledge the work that it required in order to pull the thing that they showed up to eat at off.
They probably don't want you to be doing it, keep it a buck, but they understand, you know, work-life balance must be important somewhere in there for somebody.
And culture is important at a job. So like, I don't want to also get away from the fact that if you're just being like a tyrant at work, like you are going to you potentially could at some point like affect productivity at work, morale at work, which is going to affect quality of work and people wanting to come in and work for your company and all those different things. I just don't know if necessarily it should always be how well I'm liked should trump my level of how well I do my job.
For sure. Or how you're reviewed for your performance.
Right.
And I don't think that that's really talked about enough because that's also a limiting factor in terms of how you can ascend.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the thing that it just reminds me of, if we're talking about, we do volunteering work with our church all the time. And that's very different than the outcome that you're expected to have with a job. And I think a lot of times my godfather and I have conversations. He's been in the, you know, rooms with CEOs, and his biggest thing is always, if you're not, they're only there to pay you at your job. That is it. There is no requirement to make the work culture feel great. There is no requirement for you to love what you're doing. If you do not love what you're doing, their requirement is only to pay you. That is quite literally it.
Yeah.
So if you are not getting what you need from there, then leave, right? I think often we would like to marry the two of it being kind of like how we had it at church, which is a volunteer situation where we're trying to make sure everyone has, you know, equal say and everyone has an opportunity to do the things that they love and that it is something that you're growing in. That's not what is required in corporate America. So when you're talking about whether or not someone likes you and whether or not you are being productive at your job, the job only wants you, it has metrics. Your metrics are you're to meet those metrics and they will pay you for those metrics. That is it.
I mean, you say that, but then if that were true, then likability versus performance wouldn't be a conversation.
But here's my thing. So if you don't, if you're recognizing that your boss does not like you and you're feeling like you're not getting paid or you're not being given raise, you as the, you were saying like your response to somebody who is already in that position is not to stay, is to leave, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is not the company's responsibility to make your boss like you or you to like them in order for you to get more money. It is your responsibility to recognize this work culture is not working for you and you're probably not going to move forward and to just leave, if that makes sense.
Well, I also don't, I think it's important to not misconstrue being likable versus respecting one another. Because I think sometimes in the real woke culture, whatever your culture looks like, you still need to respect one another.
And they get rid of DIE or D. DEI.
Imagine if that was our acronym. DIE.
Sorry. Go ahead, Nicole. My bad.
No, you're fine. I'm just saying, like, there still needs to be a level of respect that's had at work. Or if you're operating, I mean, it doesn't, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter where you are, if you're in the workplace or not. We may not need to like each other, but we do need to respect one another. So that we can do whatever the task is, whether it be to work, whether it be to volunteer together. Because difference of opinion in itself can divide people. We've seen that time and time again. But I think when you understand that we don't have to have the same, again, going back, you don't have to have the same opinion, but when you start to respect one another, you can still operate with that person and be successful.
Do you have someone that you respect but you don't like?
Yes. But also I think that what respect looks like for different people is different. Yes.
I cannot think of anyone that I respect that I don't like a little bit.
Oh, you didn't say a little bit last time. You said it all.
Mm. Well, at all. Like, I can't think of anyone that I'm like, oh, I respect you, but I don't like you.
Well, I think also respect is earned. For the most part, like it's through an action. It's not showing up and be like, you know what? I have respect for you and your opinion, but it is definitely, let's say you have an opinion about something and I have an adverse opinion for something that doesn't change my opinion of who you are as an individual, if you've shown me that you're still kind, caring, and compassionate.
Rebecca, I would still like you. Like, I can still like you and us not agree on things.
Example, you can respect someone for like where they are, what they've achieved.
Yeah.
But like your actual interactions with that person are like not.
Yeah.
In a way that tells you that they respect you. You, as a result, you may not like them. Like, I can still respect you for like how much you've achieved, like where you are in your life and like what you're accomplishing. But like, I may not actually, we don't vibe. Like, we don't like each other.
Oh, I think I'm too like narrow-minded for this.
Okay. That's fair. It's very,
I'm like racking my brain. I cannot think of not one person.
So does that mean that you,
if I don't like you, I immediately lose respect for you.
Okay. Got it. That's what I was trying to ask.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's fair.
It's probably healthier. Yeah. Honestly.
I don't know. I don't know if it is. But to get us back on topic, bullying. Have you guys been bullied in the workplace? And
they tried it.
Let's hear.
Yeah, I want to hear more because I feel like no one would ever bully you.
They tried it because they were an older white male.
Oh, a white man bullied you. I do want to know the demographics of who bullied you. And has it been more women, black women, male?
So, I mean, it also depends. Old. When I was working in the corporate field, I think that at some point different people have tried it. More specifically, a older white male. I would even say an older black female. The white male was because of their lack of tact and how they would just show up to work and just be not aware. There was no dye in it at all. Like, he was just very no DEI, if for those who didn't catch the first joke. he just was very closed-minded, and there's a word and I'm losing it, but he was not, I don't even want to say it was politically correct because that's not it either. Insensitive. Mm. He was just very insensitive at work when it came to anybody of color, wherever on the spectrum you fell, or women in general. He was just a very chauvinistic person. And then the black woman, it was a little bit more backstabby. Mm-hmm. It was, I'm your friend, but I'm not your friend type deal. Mm-hmm. And that probably obviously stung a little bit more than the older white male, because I expect that from him.
Yeah.
But the older black woman, I just like, aren't you an adult? But maybe not.
Yeah. I think my most nefarious seems like a really harsh word, but like my most nefarious workplace relationships have been with black women that have been older than me. Mm-hmm. And often it's worse because I go into it like eyes wide, like open, like so excited to be mentored by this woman. And then it turns into you're actually like a hindrance and a thorn for me instead of like something that's helping. And so it's like been, and which is fine, like giving constructive criticism, feedback, like being like, the bar is really high and I want you to meet it, is like, all of that is good. But instead, there's also this like veil where they don't realize that they are part of the reason that I'm not succeeding. Mm-hmm. Like they don't acknowledge the role that they're playing in like why I'm not performing optimally. And so that has been really hard. And I've never had that experience with a white man. I think I've been blessed enough, oddly, to like my biggest champions at work have been white men that have been older. Mm-hmm. Some of that is because of the industries I've worked in simply. But I think with like white people, like generally I've had like some experiences where they like haven't advocated for me in spaces where like I either expected them to or like flat out like asked them to, because they were like the right person as like, you're my manager, or like where they are in like the company, it was appropriate for them to be that person to vie for me in situations where they did not. But again, was less of a surprise because it's sort of what you come to expect. I think I do now have like this little, like I have like trepidation around like black women in the workspace, mm-hmm. until I like know like how you move. Like it's really hard. And I think it's also really hard because sometimes I feel like, is it me? Like the, I always internalize it first. And so, mm-hmm. And then until I realize that it's also happening to other people, then I'm like, oh, okay. Like I'm not like the source of this problem, but like, it's also, it doesn't make it any easier to deal with.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how mine are too. Like my worst work experiences have been with black women, but also my best work experience have also been with black women. Mm-hmm. So like my two of my mentors are black women, but I've also had more than two, unfortunately, that the same thing I go into, I'm like, oh, like, I'm not looking for you to be my friend, but like, we have a commonality here. Like, we're probably one of few in the workplace. And it seems like you're making it your mission to nitpick at me or what I'm doing or what have you. And I just feel like you're not, but I'm also noticing you're not doing it to other people. So it's also like, I don't know if you feel more comfortable nitpicking me because we have that commonality or whatever, but it's just like, this is unnecessary.
Yeah.
Especially when it's not, it also always happens, sometimes happens to me when it's not about my job performance. Mm. So you're also nitpicking about things that like don't have anything to do with like my job.
Do you have an example?
So I've had someone come up to me and say something about like what I was wearing or not wearing or what have you. And I'm just like, I'm also not, like, I'm not showing up to work in like a mini skirt and a crop top. You know what I mean? Like, but because of whatever reason you feel like this is not appropriate for, not even appropriate. Like, for instance, I wasn't wearing stockings one time with a dress. Mind you, I was in Texas in, I don't know, like August. Sis, I'm not wearing stockings. Like, I'm just not doing it. But because you're older and you feel like a woman can't wear a dress without stockings, because to you and your age demographic, like, that completes an outfit. It's like you're stuff like that. I'm just like, but I'm all, you know what I mean? Like, this does not matter in the grand scheme of things.
Could one potentially say, just because I like to look at it from a different perspective, from the older woman's perspective, do you think that it could potentially be a situation where they've been hurt in the past or they've been reprimanded for it in the past? So that's their way of passing on words of wisdom. The delivery is just off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like sometimes women who are older sometimes will try to come for you, not intentionally, but it's like out of a hurt. But on the other side of it, I know for myself, in instances where I've experienced that, I'm like, okay, well, the only thing I can control is me, and mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure I don't do it to anybody else. Mm-hmm. And out of the people who I used to manage, to be honest with you, I would take special interest in anyone who looked like me and reported to me, to a point where somebody I hired, I was like, look, you don't need to be in this job longer than 5 years. And if you are, we're going to have a different conversation. Now, I also sometimes found it harder to provide feedback because it's like, okay, I gave you feedback once. I'm giving you feedback a second time. How many times do I need to give you feedback before serious manager Nicole needs to kick in? Because I don't want you to think I'm being itchy, but I need for you to understand a job needs to be done. And you're on a watch list at this particular point. I can no longer protect you. You now may have to face consequence because of your lack of performance.
I feel like that's different. Yeah. I feel like we're dealing with someone who is like not performing well, then we're having like a very different discussion.
And she's too comfortable with you. Like now she feels like, oh, we're peers versus you being my.
And I can understand wanting to make sure that there's a line between like that. So like you're not like kind of stuck in that situation. And I don't know. Like, I ask myself that a lot, too. Like, where does this kind of stem from? Because I've also dealt with it in, like, situations that are not workplace related that have been, like, have really caught me off guard. But that's for them to figure. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, oh, they're, like, what you hear a lot is, like, oh, she's jealous of you, sis. Like, you're younger and you're, like, up and coming and that threatens her. And I'm just like, I don't know that that's what that is.
I don't have that many haters.
And I don't care. Like, I don't, like, right. I just, like, in myself, I'm not, like, propping myself up to be that for that to be the reason. Deep. Like, it doesn't really matter the why. I need to figure out, like, how to work through it. You know what I mean? Is, like, kind of how I, like, try to make my peace with it.
Or, I think, like, it's twofold, too. Like, it might be you're coming from a place of hurt, and it might be you, because I feel not even about like what I'm having on, but like I feel a freedom that maybe you don't feel. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason that triggers you.
Yeah.
But to Tiff's point, like if this is not hindering my job performance, if I'm not disrespecting you, if I am not coming in a space where I'm being inappropriate or what have you, like that's something you got to get over. Like you projecting your whatever onto me is not okay. Sure. And a lot of times it might not even be a black to black woman thing. Sometimes it is an age thing. Like we were raised differently. So what's appropriate to wear to you? Like, I think I saw this other day, a girl was on doing like a get ready with me to work and she was wearing a crop top. Mm-hmm. I think it's into y'all. I was like, would you guys ever wear a crop? No. I would never wear a crop top to work, but I don't know if these newer kids, first of all, I've never seen my niece without a crop top. Like, I don't even know if she owns a shirt that comes down past her waist because I don't even know if they make them. You know what I mean?
Honestly, but like, to that point, when I was looking for new stuff after the pandemic, when I got a new job and I was like, this workplace is much more casual, I went to Express to look for like a suit because I was going to interview. All the suits were crop top blazers. And I was like, where does one wear this?
Yeah.
And it never entered my brain that it was actually to work.
Right.
But like, I don't like there is an aspect to that where I'm like, maybe I am going to be that old curmudgeon that's like talking about, hey, that's not work appropriate. So, I mean, there's like that aspect too. And I want to make sure that I'm also saying the other side. Like, I also have had black women advocate for me in leadership areas, specifically in front of like their bosses or specifically like in front of like in like talent review or like places where it matters. So I don't only want to be like one sided or like jaded in this conversation. Like, that's the part that hurts the most. So it like, it stands out to me the most, but there's also been like plenty of times where like black women, even now at my like current job, have like been like, hey, Tiffany really like took this to a T, you know what I mean? In front of leadership at my job. So like, it comes with both sides. I think. Just like anything else.
Yeah. I wouldn't be in my job if it had not been for two Black women. So like, or even this industry. So like, I'm very, same thing. Like, I'm very appreciative of the two Black women that have propelled me into this space.
Yeah. It but is, I also is, think it's, sorry.
I was about to say, it is easier to remember the ones that sting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's sure. just bottom line. Doesn't matter Absolutely. Where it's coming from. The ones that sting, they sting the longest. We try to do our best as being positive about it and remain positive. But I think it is those things that also shape you, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the people that remind you that you don't want to do that same thing to somebody else. And you try to remember the people who did more for your career than the ones who did hurt you. Because as y'all were talking, I was like, I don't outwardly remember a lot of bullies, but I also made sure that I didn't focus on them. I'm not saying that I didn't have any.
Oh, bless. I remember one specifically for you. So I'm surprised that this is where the conversation is taking us.
No, I'm just saying it from the standpoint that I'm not focusing on them, right? So I think that that's what I as y'all were talking, I was like, no, I know I have to have had, but it's also the way in which I've decided to move myself.
Queen.
Huh?
Are we not considering that last lady a bully?
Oh,
sorry. I was trying not to say it, but I'm confused.
I just thought about that.
Okay.
So.
And it's okay. We don't have to go there. I'm just confused. It can be yes or no and we can move on. I'm sorry.
Saying from that standpoint that I did not focus
okay.
on said people
okay.
who have may or may not have put barriers in my way.
Okay.
But I think that I say that because I think of where my careers have also gone. Like I have not, there have been so many people who have championed me into different places that sure, there have been a ton of people who may have done X, Y, and Z to hinder me, but has it?
Okay. That's no. God.
So, you know, I think as much as we talk about these bullies or even, you know, going back to workplace bullies, I think that they all have their place. There is a reason maybe that you are dealing with that person for that season or whatever it may be. But as long as we're not focusing on it, they shall never prosper.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Should we transition into, I don't know if we want to like caveat it with like showing emotions at work or being the villain.
Ooh, have and you
like
guys cried at work?
Leaning into the, ooh.
Yes. Only once. Yeah.
Fair.
I'm not a crier. I'm usually like either I'm really, really mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's just like, I'm so overwhelmed. I like cannot. I've only had one instance where I had a client and it was like, I don't know if you've ever been in situations like, it doesn't matter what you do, how much work you put in, like you're wrong. Like you're doing it wrong. The work is wrong. But they're also not helping in a way for you to fix whatever's happening. So that was happening. Like we had this client was working on their show and they weren't, because we were new coming in and someone else was doing the work before, they didn't have, the only historical knowledge was like their institutional historical knowledge. There was no like paperwork for us to like do stuff off of. So we would ask questions. You're like, oh no, run with it. Do whatever you want. And then you do whatever you want. Like, oh no, that's all wrong. Like we've never done it before, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so then tell me what you've done before. Since you like it and I can replicate, like I have no desire to redo what's working.
Yeah.
Like if you like it this way, tell me what that is and I'll fix it. They refuse to do that. But always like the feedback was always, I hate that. Don't know why you did it. Who told you to do it that way? Like,
no.
Okay, fine. So we're on site working on their show. Same thing. Even though you've seen, because what I do, you have to have paperwork for everything. Mm-hmm. I'm only on site, I'm only making sure that what I've done ahead of time and on paperwork is being executed.
Right.
They had all of this, but on site, everything's wrong. So I'm just like, you've had this for weeks. I'm not sure why all of a sudden, like you weren't checking it and now you hate what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so it got to a point where it's just like, you're being berated every single day and being told that also like, I know I'm good at my job. Like I know I'm good at my job at this point. You telling me I'm doing a terrible job is like so outside of what I know to be true that it's like, killing me because I'm also very much a perfectionist when it comes to my job and being at work. I cried every single day. Got to the point where I was just like, hey, I'm leaving. So this has been fun. I don't care if I get fired, but I'm not coming back. Like I'm in LA at this point. I'm looking at like flights leaving in an hour. Like I'm leaving tonight. Mm. You can do whatever you want. I don't care. I even told my boss, like, you can fire me. I'm never, I do not care. And they're like, no, please stay, blah, blah. I'm like, my mental health is struggling so much at this point. Like, I'm literally, like, I'm going into bathrooms after every couple hours to cry because I just cannot figure out how to move forward. And no one is giving me a path to success.
Right.
Because there isn't one. Like, you just, you're committed to me being wrong. And so finally, one of my really good friends, one of my mentors was like, we only have a couple more days here. We are going to get this together. I know it's hard, but like, we just have to get through this. And I stayed and we got through it. And then I told my boss, like, I'm never working with this client again. I'm just not. Like, you can, whatever you need to do on your end. Like, I understand you're, this is taking money out of your pocket, but I'm not doing it. Like, I physically cannot do this without it's going down a dark path for me. Like, I'm in therapy because of this situation. And so they were like, yeah, no, like, all money's not good money. Essentially, we never work with them again. But like, I've never felt that way before in my entire life. But it also made me stand up for myself a little bit more and just kind of like stand my ground, where if it feels like at a point where you're like, I don't know, seeking therapy just to get through the day is just like,
yeah,
lot. That's a lot. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, or and it was just,
Like questioning yourself. Like, what I find is like, if I'm questioning my self identity because of my 9 to 5, we've hit a place that we don't like, we're outside of the spectrum of like what the range of emotions that we are allowing for a corporate job. So to that point, I think that there was a point for me like that last year where I accidentally cried in front of my manager, which has never happened. Has that happened before? One time it happened before, but I'm a crier. So it's also like,
I'm not a crier, which is also has made it really weird for me to be crying every single day.
But essentially a very similar situation where it was like, I was like, A, I'm like new to the company, but I'm also like breaking my back on this project that is like spanning the entire organization, which is like a lot when you're new. It's a lot in general, but it's a lot when you're new and you don't even know the extent of the organization truthfully from the inside. And I've like never really worked as hard on a project as I was working at that time. And a lot of things were just like up in the air because it was a regulatory project and the regulation wasn't finalized. So there's a lot that you can't do until the regulation is concrete, because then you know what you're like working against and like what the parameters need to be. That you're building towards. Anyways, there is like someone who is like not my the project lead, not the person that brought me onto this project, is like he's on another team, and he like basically wrote an email to his leadership talking about like how our team, like, and me specifically as the PM on the project, we're not doing our job and what we needed to be doing, and instead what we were doing. And I was like so caught off guard because A, I've never worked so hard on a project, and B, I'm also trying to find answers to the things that he's like saying I'm not doing. But I'm like, because the project is so expansive and there are so many, there are more questions than answers, like no one has a it's not clear. Like, it's just like it's a lot of like, it's a lot of discerning what could be the correct answer instead of just like finding out what is right, because it's not, there is no correct. It is just like trying to narrow into like, these are the parameters and this is what we're going to do. Anyways, I'd never had that happen to me before, but it's specifically never had it happen to me before on something that I was working so hard towards. And so I was like really, really caught off guard. And also like being new at a company where that happens to you, I'm also not sure of like what the actual repercussions for something like that are. I've never been like escalated on. So I'm also like, am I about to lose my job that I just got? Like,
I don't know. I just got here. This is how this works.
What's going on? And so like it happened and I had a one-on-one with my manager. Like, I just so happened to have it like 15 minutes after that email got sent. So it was like still really raw for me. I was like still processing it.
Were you other people TC'd on this email?
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Straight to the source.
No.
So I'm like trying to tell her about it because I'm like, hey, I'm the kind of person who like, I probably don't like shout my wins high enough, but I'm like, hey, this like point of friction happened and I want to make sure that you know about it from me before you hear about it from someone else. So I'm trying to relay it to her and I just like start crying because I'm just like, I don't even like, this person has been to your like kind of like that same thing where it's like we're working towards the same goal, but instead you want to be like adversarial with us when really like we're all trying to accomplish the same thing. And I've like taken the time to like meet this person like one on one and be like, and the energy is so different. Like it, always in like a group setting, they want to like try to pin you to the floor or like call you out for stuff. But like when I meet with them one on one, it's like, oh no, I know you're doing your best and I know that this is really difficult. And I'm like, why?
Can't trust them people.
Are you like this? And so like it ended up being like fine. My manager was like super supportive. And I was like, I'm sorry, if we were talking tomorrow, I wouldn't be crying. But this just happened 15 minutes ago and I'm still processing. And this is unfortunately how I process.
You walked into my process.
Right. I'm in the bathroom normally crying by myself.
In a corner in a fetal position.
I really wanted to cancel this one-on-one, but I didn't think that that was appropriate. So here we are. So yeah, that's like a time that I've cried at work that has not been. That's not the only time I've cried about work, but that's the only time I've cried at work.
So if anyone else doesn't have an example, we have a real life situation of someone crying at work.
What does that mean? Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, okay. Go ahead. No,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, so Angel Reese recently cried at work. It was a post game interview. They had LSU had just lost to Iowa. Was it Iowa?
Yeah.
Okay, they just lost to Iowa. I believe, is Angel a senior? Or is she just leaving?
She was, no. She was a fifth-year senior because she was stuck in that the COVID loop, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is her. She had just lost the semi-final game. Yes. This is her last collegiate game of her college career. And emotions are high. Like LSU had won last year. A favorite to win this year
against the same team.
Against the same team. So it's just like a lot of things are happening. She was asked a question about her. I always say her name wrong. Flange. Her teammate had just sung her praises and said how much of a great leader she was. How she's getting a lot of flack. And so they were asking her,
which was so nice to see.
Sorry, yeah, which was so sweet to see too. Another Black woman affirming publicly her teammate that is being. Villainized a lot across. Also, she's 2019.
Yeah. Yes. And giving you a peek behind the curtain to like what the media has not been saying about her. Yeah. Right. So it was also really nice to see it from that perspective. That's like
someone who knows her.
Yeah. Like you all are like running with this storyline, but this is what we see every day.
Yeah. Right?
And that was really nice.
And so she's responding to that and she breaks down. She talks about death threats that she's been receiving. People kind of like viewing her as a villain, even though she's I don't think she self-proclaims herself as a villain, but she recognizes that people see her as one.
Yes.
And so I think in her being a competitive player, she's passionate like most competitive athletes are. But she's
also from Baltimore.
She's from Baltimore. So like
context is everything.
Yeah, she is. And she also is in Louisiana. So you know, it's just a lot of things happening.
And she's playing in a sport where they talk a lot of trash.
Yep.
And she's competitive. And she's one of the best. Like, yes. I don't even think that's arguably. Like, she just is one of the best playing. So she cries. And then Emmanuel Acho. Sorry.
I don't know.
A-C-H-O. Basically was like, how can you be a villain and then start crying like Courage the Cowardly Dog was his quote afterwards.
That's the man who capes for white people. On.
Yeah, that's once I knew who it was, I was like, oh, okay, we can just wrap this up right here.
Right.
I just thought it was odd because he's an athlete.
Right? I didn't think it was odd because
I don't know that much about him. I forgot he dated Yvonne as well. Yeah. Someone was like, that's why she left, Joe.
Oh, I forgot about that too. My first introduction to him was him being the new host after Chris Bachelor, right? Harrison. Yeah, got pulled mid-season after there was the first Black Bachelor, and he was dating the white girl who's racist, and then they broke up very publicly on this show, and then now they've been dating for years. But like, if you can have the space to be gracious and have empathy for a race baiting white woman, but not for a college age Black woman. I saw his face in the headline and I was like, I'm good. I've seen all I needed to see.
Right. Yikes. See, I wasn't that familiar with him this.
The only thing I had was what Tiffany was talking about. That was it. And I was like, oh, I already know that I don't care. Anytime to me, one, if it's a headline, we're already talking about a younger person in particular, but somebody who I already knew was being villainized in the first place.
Yeah.
And then we're hearing someone chat, it just said criticize. And I was like, okay, well, that's enough for me. Because I don't, what are you, to me, off the Bachelor stuff, you were tiptoeing in a way I didn't care for then, which means that I felt like it was going to be a lot of that here, and I just didn't feel like you were going to do any justice in being able to speak to a young woman in a way that was going to help motivate her to the next step. Had it been something where I felt like he had it in him to be able to cross, let's give it a buck, racial lines and be able to say, my people, I do care about my people, and I'm not trying to kumbaya this thing. I need you guys to really be aware of what is going on. Because to me, in my mind, this Caitlin and Angel had already squashed all beef. These are fans who were feeling a certain type of way about Angel that had Angel feeling the way that she felt. Right. So I understand what it's like to have people who don't know you try to portray you as a certain way. And then you were feeling like you have to spend the rest of your time and energy devoted to that. The death threats I didn't know about, but I'm just saying in general. So that's a lot of energy to put being put into this. So if you're then telling me that somebody who isn't quite self-aware enough to know how he messed up the first time is also being given the platform to make another mistake, I'm just not interested. Because I think that there's just more to be said about this young lady than he
said
or even has full awareness of, right? Yeah. For me, it's very clear he's not as self-aware as he claims to be.
Sure. Yeah.
I've only seen a few of this man's posts, but
sorry to this man.
Whatever. But I also am like, I feel like there's also just the double standard. Would we still be having this conversation if we were watching NCAA, like men's NCAA, and people have played with heart for the whole season and they finally have come to the end of whatever their collegiate basketball career is? And they got emotional. He'd be like, man, that nigga played with heart. And like, I feel like it would have been a different conversation. So, you know, there's always that concept, like the double standard part of it. If he's a man, that's a woman. People, regardless, you're going to have some level of emotion. And I don't think it's for anyone to police how you express them. Go ahead.
Well, I'll just say, just for clarity, she wasn't crying because she lost. I mean, I'm sure that had a lot to do with it because it's a lot happening.
It releases a lot of
emotion. Like, that's not
a small piece of it.
Yeah. Like, she was crying in response to the praise, I think, that she had just received, love that she had just received, and also receiving a lot of hate.
Mm-hmm. And then you double down.
If you've ever watched our end of the year podcast, there's lots of tears happening. And it's typically because we are praising one another. And I guess what I'm getting at is there's nothing wrong with her being emotional or having some level of emotion in that moment for all of the variety of reasons she could have been. Because if he had been talking about two guys like, man, my dog played well all season or whatever it may be, then I don't think that we would be having this conversation. One, two, like, aren't you a full grown ass man?
That was a big part for me.
Facts.
I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you
like
go ahead.
That's it, period. Like, aren't you a full grown ass man?
Yeah, full stop.
Yeah. I think the other aspect of it that I kept seeing online was that, like, people were saying, well, even if the media did turn her into a villain, like, she played into it. And I'm like, Angel has been Angel since we've met Angel.
Yeah.
So, like, how the media decides to play into you, then you're left with two choices, right? I can then decide, oh, like, I'm being perceived this way, so I need to change how I'm playing so I stop being perceived that way, which I'm not going to do because I'm the one of the best at this sport because of how I play.
Right.
So then you're really left with the option of, like, continuing to do what you've been doing, which is what the media then decides is villainous. And then people are like, well, you can't be a villain all year and then decide that you want to be, like, whatever, like, crying or sad. But it's like, yes, I can.
I'm a human being.
I can. And also, I was never being a villain. I was being me. And yeah. I'm still being me.
Yes.
And
you're just getting to see the villain.
Yeah, right. You're just getting to see it on camera the same way that we were just seeing it on camera before. Like, calling someone a villain for how passionately they play on a court is weird. She's not like Draymond Green out here, like, punching niggas. Like, she's playing a sport.
It's talking shit.
Talking trash. Okay.
Like, but even, and that's what I think is also odd and weird, because I was listening to something else that she said, and she was like, when I'm on the court, like, we're not friends. Like, you're my op. Like, you're my in
it's
this
very
situation,
energy.
You're actually the person, like, my
enemy.
My enemy, my opponent. Yes. Like, you were actually my opponent at the time. So, like, we're not friends. And like, but she was also saying, when I'm off the court, if I see Caitlin in the street, it's all love, because you're no longer as someone that I'm trying to beat in a game. Like, you're just another basketball player.
Yep.
So and it's also, have y'all never played a sport?
Right.
I don't know, like, or played, done anything that you have an opponent? Like, do you not know what it's like? I play Monopoly or cards with my 5-year-old all the time. You know what he is? The op. When we're playing Uno together, Goldfish, whatever, Candyland, you're my op. You're not my son right now, you're my op.
Y'all's
now,
family
when we're
game
done,
night is scary.
Yeah. And she's not playing, y'all.
She's not.
When
she's
we're done,
she
will
slip
you.
A table. Over playing
and I have
old.
And I have quite but when literally. We're done
it has.
I love you, you're my son again, it's all love. Do you want to see her some goldfish, some apple juice, you want a juice box when we're all done with this, a Lunchable, whatever, I got you, babes. Like, let's go to Chick-fil-A and get a happy meal. But right now, right now, my nigga, you're my enemy. And it is what it is. Like,
I'm really sick of you. Yeah. And I think to Nicole's point, like, it's very like, it's very Kobe energy. But yeah, like, you never like, and maybe that's not fair comparison for obvious reasons, but like, people tout Kobe for that same thing. You know, yeah, like, it's all love everywhere else. But when we are like within the spectrum of this court, like, you and I are not friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that that was also the problem with his whole statement, right? So he said, I want to take race out of it. I want to take gender out of it. And you can't.
No.
At the end of the day, you cannot, mainly because those are the same reasons, the reason as to why she's being painted in this corner.
Exactly. Also, and whether you realize it or not, it's part of why you have the construct of like why it's wrong, yeah, in your mind. Right.
Exactly. We are starting from there. That is the only reason this is even a conversation, right, in the first place. Yeah, this was, I feel bad for her. But I will say this, I appreciate it. If you are a fan of basketball, this season for the women was amazing. It absolutely was amazing. Yeah. Everything that Angel, Juju, Caitlin,
Juju,
Dawn,
Flajay,
Watkins, can't think of her.
Go ahead, call him
but
out.
But all of them, they all did an amazing job this season at bringing women's sports to the head front. And I'm excited about, as much as Angel has been painted as a villain, my father reminded me of, like, you got to think about, like, if anybody's watched on Max, the Larry Bird versus Magic. They painted Larry Bird as their Great White Hope and Magic as this, his villain, his opponent. He's the one that they're painting these two at odds. And that's what the media likes to do. And that's what the NBA, the WNBA, the NCAA likes to do, because that's what gets the views.
Yeah.
I hope for Angel, even in this, she recognizes that this can be something she either takes with her and allows her to bring her down, or it's something that she takes with her and reminds her that this is something that she can launch herself on, right? Because Magic took that and it fueled him. If you watch the series, it fueled him, it fueled Bird, it allowed them the, you know, they, of course, didn't like each other like best friends off the court, but it had a mutual respect and it changed the game. Yeah. I think that that's something, you know, for as much flack and as much heartache as she has dealing with the naysayers, because she gets a lot more of it now because of social media and people having like direct contact with her. But I want to support her and just say in general here and now that regardless of anything else, this is something that can really launch you if you allow it to be something that fuels you in the right way. So I'm hopeful for that for her.
Yeah. And I'm glad she has teammates and people around her that are, you know, talking her up and giving her encouragement and all that good stuff. But I also hope, like, can y'all weirdos threatening call anyone that plays a game that you do? Like, can y'all stop? Like, that's, that is like, so chill. Odd.
Chill.
You have nothing better to do with your time. No, it is a game. It is quite literally a game.
Yeah.
If you put money on it, that's on you.
You're going to jail. Like, right. I hope you go to jail.
Yes. That's
weirdos.
Weird. Being weird.
But I also pray for your safety, Angel. Like, I don't know.
Yes, in general. Christ. In general. I think that this is, if you guys can't keep it to the court, then you guys got to find something else to do.
Yeah, for sure. Should we move on to one thing we're going to do, or is tangent?
One thing we're going to do is tangent.
Okay, for today's question, I thought it was well aligned with the topic. Why don't woman-led cults exist?
Oh, they do.
Ooh. Oh, name one.
There was one on, there's one on,
of course I would know that.
Yes. There's one on, HBO. I thought you watched that one with us. Oh gosh. What's the name of that one? It was so good, but she was a, she actually, unfortunately, am I giving spoilers? Do y'all care?
I don't know. No, haven't said the name of anything.
What is it?
sorry. Cause I'm,
cause I feel like I'm it's thinking of
the one where they were, oh God, I can't. I need to phone a friend because I'm trying
not
to remember.
Not phone a friend.
Because Candace would know. I can't remember if I have it saved on here or not. Hold on. We watch The Cult of Mother God.
Huh?
Is that the one that John Legend's wife helped co-create?
No.
What?
Oh, okay.
No.
She produced a documentary that was
Oh, they even the cult.
Based.
Oh, my
Oh, I did too. Wait, I don't know.
No, the documentary about the cult.
Allegedly.
It's not a legend. She produced a documentary about a cult.
I know, before I thought you were saying that Chrissy Teigen started a cult.
I don't know. It doesn't say on here.
What's this one about?
In this one, she is a like spiritual savior. Like at first it started with her and I guess her boyfriend, but then it just became all about her. And like she supposedly had some contacts that were going to come and take them in space or somewhere away with like, I don't know. It got very, very weird.
I mean, sounds like it started very weird.
It did. Okay. It did not start with just her. It started her and a partner. And then she like left that partner. And then like everyone was just surrounding her. So all of it was all about her.
Okay.
It was very interesting.
I have to check that one. But last couple ones that I were aware about that had women involved, it was still like a man at the head of it. So like, that's why I was like thinking like.
She was, it's interesting you say that because though she was like the figurehead, like mother was like always who they're talking about.
Mother.
There was always like a man settled very closely and strategically.
Is it giving the wicked ways? What is it called? The Wicker Man? You know, a movie with Nicolas Cage? It was a remake of something else, it was like this all female cult and they go and reproduce. Like they'll send, when you're of a particular age, they send you out to procreate with a man, kind of like it's given One Night Stand. And then they have these kids, but if it's a man child, they will, they bring the man back to sacrifice him to whatever they believe in. And then the men children that are born in the group are like muted. And then the women are like, they run this whatever.
It's giving Game of Thrones, that one family who like, was it Baratheon? Who he would procreate with all his daughters and then all the sons would be like given out into the forest.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot in this comment. I'm glad I asked. Wow. Not the direction I thought this was going to go, and it never does.
I don't know that there's a way to really be able to do it, at least in this culture, that's really going to work without the patriarchy being able to like sneak in some way.
But see, I think that's where it's kind of surprising, because I would think that right now we're in this like weird wave where wave where like people are like pussy forward and like anti-establishment and fuck the patriarchy, and which seems like it would be the perfect time for a woman-led cult to begin. Potentially.
I feel like that's being said, but then it's like it's like behind closed doors is something else.
I don't know. We almost had a woman for president. I'm surprised we don't have a woman-led cult first.
You know where I would be? That's actually kind of funny.
It is.
There's, unfortunately, I can't remember what country in Africa that has lost a lot of men in the last couple of generations. So a lot of their political leadership now is at the point where it's pretty much all women running the whole entire country. I've read an article on this. I gotta look it up. But long story short, surprisingly doing quite well. Like, you
is
know,
surprising?
Not
shocker.
Not surprising, but it's one of these things of like, you know, the country was very much into the patriarchy, but because there was no men,
they got most some of the sense.
Men surprise, had
and so a lot of the laws have changed, of course, because they're coming from now. I'm gonna find that information.
Right, that's your job this week. Put that in the show notes.
For sure. Okay. Got you.
All right. Well, it's time for
Coley's Corner.
All right. Well, that's nothing to do about being a bully. Actually, it could. Well, it depends. I don't know.
Okay.
Either way, the question to me would be very cultural. Only because I've seen this happen with
all
my friends.
Caveats.
Yes, it has to be a caveat. So today's question comes from one of our faves. It's on site. And the question is, how do you feel about your kids' friends coming with you and their parents didn't give them money to go? I just saw a lady on TikTok upset because they went to the mall and out to eat and the little girl, 14, didn't have money with her. Personally,
you don't want to know all them kids, so let's start with you, because you always got a busload.
I do.
I'm talking about her specifically. Yeah. I was like, huh?
I was like, how'd you infer all of that?
No, because I do always have a busload of kids.
You know who wrote it?
It was me. It was me that wrote it. It's like, I'm playing. So I feel like culturally, it has always been, I even think from when we were growing up, our moms always gave us money.
Or gave the adult.
Or gave the adult money. And then the adult could then decide, like, no, I got your movie, I got your food or whatever. Or like, even if it was like a random after church situation, like, no, you can come with me. Like, here's a few dollars. But maybe you didn't use those few dollars and that's your business. Or if you did, I'm like, look, I'll pay for your movie and food. If you want to get a little trinket, then that's your business.
Also, that was back when everybody had cash.
Yeah. That part. I mean, but now folks got tap it.
Right. Them kids be using people Apple Pay.
Or I'll do it. No, I'll do like Apple kids Pay have or Apple Cash Pay App or Venmo.
That's
or whatever.
If your kid has a phone.
The adult what?
Kids she's don't. She's 14.
Or the adult. What?
I don't. We just had that discussion too. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. But
no, but you're. I'm learning.
but no, like I feel like that's always been the standard. I oftentimes have a lot of kids with me, and
they broke.
They not always sent with finances, but you know.
But how do you feel about that?
But the caveat, they're. Family, most of the time, right?
Nicole said that don't matter.
I feel like, but I do feel like that, at least to me, there can be a difference.
It is a difference.
Between it being like your nieces or nephews or like a cousin versus like your friend's kid. It can be perceived. Because
I would be mad if Cookie got in the car and wanted, what you mean you ain't got no money? Oh, you must not be wanting to eat today, huh? I would never do that, but
Cookie is her niece, by the way.
It is. But I would also, in my mind, be thinking that. Because what type of parent are you sending your child out the house with no money?
Is she talking about her sister? Okay.
Not. No. Talk about the little kids' friends. Don't do that.
I think it's interesting because to me, the first question is, what do you know about the family? Like, if you know that the family is, like, not, like, maybe doing well financially, like, it's tough. Like, if the child asks to come with you, if the kids did the thing where they, like, go away and they conspire and then they ask one of the parents and it puts you in the weird situation, like, I can understand that being very frustrating. But if you invited the child and then, it's kind of like dates, right? Like, that's how I perceive it. Like, if you invited the child, then I don't know that you can be mad that the parent didn't send them with money. Maybe they're just absent-minded. Maybe you could be like, hey, they did XYZ, like, if you could send me a few bucks, like. I don't know if that's passive aggressive in parent world. I don't know if that's like bad to do. It's not ideal by any means. Yes, you should definitely offer.
Yeah.
But I don't.
It's the sometimes offer.
It's the tough part to me. Like if you know that like the family is like kind of like hard up, that's the one scenario where I'm like, well, I wouldn't push that one.
I just feel like if you're going somewhere, if you have a kid and another kid is with you and you decided to go out to eat, I just feel like it is wild to not be the kid that you're with. Like if you really cannot afford to feed your kid and someone else's kid,
then you go home.
Maybe the outing doesn't include food. Maybe y'all just go to a park and do something free. But like if I'm going and taking my kid out to get something to eat, there's no way I'm then going to complain and not get the other kid something to eat. Right. But like for me as a parent, if someone's taking my child, I always say, hey, here's some money. Can I Cash App you? Can I Venmo you? If I don't have cash, because who has cash?
Yeah.
Can I send you some money for like, so for whatever you guys end up doing, like my kid can participate because I also don't want my kid to be left out for whatever reason, but I also don't leave my kid with adults that don't treat my kid like he's their kid. Mm-hmm. But I always offer, but two, I would never bring a kid with me knowing that I cannot afford to do for the kid whatever I'm doing for my kid.
Right.
Like, sorry, you can't come. If we're going to McDonald's and I got McDonald's money for you, sorry, son, you got to go with your mama. Mm-hmm. I don't got it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I really don't have it, like, I'm not taking you with me. But it's also weird for you to be like, oh my God, I cannot believe this kid didn't, their parent didn't give them any money. Then don't let them come. Like, if you can't afford it, don't let them come.
First of all, for you to be on TikTok blasting these people, that is wild. Like, that's like a private you get. Yes. You aggravated, but you don't get aggravated and be like, I can't believe they sent their child out. Like, okay, I joke, but I would never, if you're with me and I got it, I'm not, kids ain't got no money like that. Right. So if you just gave your child $10.
I don't even treat adults like that. My friends have jobs. Like,
that part.
I don't treat them like that.
I do need to say though, I also know that these children from hearing from happenstance, that they will set up a whole date of places where they're gonna go and what they're gonna do
without money, plans,
without asking anyone if anyone is available to take them.
Yeah.
So it could have very well been that they were set up, right?
Conspiring.
By, by set up by the children and not realizing that a conversation was not had that should have been had, right? Yeah. On either one's part, on the parent who sent the child along or on the part of the parent who was who agreed to go without really thinking through what do I have available means to, because I know that's what kids do, right? Like you're like, oh, I'm going they to plot. Target, and they'll be like, oh yeah, me and my friend who's down the street, then we want to go too.
Oh no, y'all and, both getting the same speech. Don't touch nothing in here.
That part.
Yeah, or say, or I'll be like, what I've also done right. when I've been with car. Other kids and they'll be like, oh, like we want to go out to eat. Cool. What do you guys want? If they're like, oh, we want, I don't know, L'Oreal Plaza or like, I don't
lobster.
Know. Yeah, like they want lobster and pasta. Like, actually, we're going to Chick-fil-A.
Right.
So do you want a number one or a number two?
Like, you're still right. the adult.
Yeah, right. like I can still tell you no. Like, y'all can conspire all you want. Do you have money?
Right.
That part.
Before we even leave the door, I think that that's the thing, too, with these kids. You got to be a little... They are not forward thinkers. So you got to be forward thinkers yeah. for them. At that age, they are very used to you being like... You and me, let's go, and we gonna do. They're not counting your coins. You are, sis.
Right.
So at some point, they have just gotten very used to it being this way. You're gonna have to restructure it.
Well,
yeah,
bring it on back.
It reminds me, sorry, top off. I'm gonna tangent a little bit. Like that girl that went to Sephora, and she like went up to the, or is either Sephora or Ulta, I can't remember, but like she went up to, she kept filling up her thing and she went up to check out and her total came up to like $800. And
wait, filling up what? What is the thing?
Her cart. Or her little basket with like cosmetics, skincare, all kinds of stuff. And it came up to like about, I want to say like 800. It was something egregious. Like it was a lot. And her, I guess she was at the register and her mom was like with another sibling or something else. And like she like turned around like, are you like, I'm checking out. You can come pay for my stuff. And her mom asked the lady how much it was. And she said the amount. And the mom was like, I don't know who you think you are, but I'm not paying $800. And she was like 11, 12, like something like. Don't like she doesn't have no business spending. I don't spend $800 in Sephora right. as an adult.
What are
and
you
so,
making up?
Yeah,
11. Like what is what's in the basket?
It's full body. Makeup. Yeah, it has
so,
to be.
I mean, to be fair, Sephora adds up really quick.
No, it I'm does. Not saying it's not expensive, but I'm saying how many products do you need? She You're 11. Like, yeah. are you even allowed so she to was like put on lashes?
No. And so the mom was like, "I'm not buying you. Like, you have to put some stuff back." And the girl was like, "No, I'm not going to do it." And the mom was like, "You absolutely have to put some stuff out." Mind you, I don't think they look like this. And so
no, I'm not going to do
the
it.
Mom,
so
then
pay for cultural.
It. Okay, then pay for it.
They
you're not going to put anything back.
We're arguing for a while. I think finally the girl agreed to put back like one or two items. And she was like, I'm not putting anything else back. And the mom ended up paying for everything. So I'm saying that to say.
Trigger.
I'm sorry.
I said that to say, to Sia's point, some adults are not adulting
yeah.
the way they need to yeah. be, and these kids are getting a little out of yeah. hand with what they feel entitled to.
Now imagine your neighbor's like kid doing that. It's not even your kid.
I'm walking out.
First I don't of know all, you. I don't even way, know you.
You're gonna have to steal it. I'm mean, leaving.
I don't even know you for real.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Because you don't know me. Because you would have never done
you
that.
Don't. You no, never. Good. And who never. Told you I was buying anything from Sephora? Never. Like
the way that Mama need her ass beat.
Oh
like,
my
yeah, what sure. in the hell is yeah. wrong with you?
I didn't send out that video.
I don't think so.
Oh. Probably because I knew y'all's answer.
Not at making Nicole cry.
Nicole was livid on the behalf of this mom.
Look, I know, like not I on behalf. I want to beat the mama ass because did you said she ended up paying for it? Any
she put girl, like two things back. Yeah, it was still over $500 worth of products that this
what,
little girl got.
Child?
Yeah.
I feel like we need to have a plug
that you ain't
here
got no job.
For our upcoming wine and cheese that will be happening at Shiloh because apparently some of y'all need help.
A parenting class.
A parenting class is yeah. needed. Like I don't, like no, boundaries. Let me just tell y'all right now. Boundaries are important for your children.
Absolutely.
They are necessary for them.
And other people's children.
Other people's children, right.
The way yes. I sounded like my daddy just the other day when somebody was sharing something. I was like, are you asking or telling?
Ooh.
And what's your plan? Do you have finances? Oh, okay. I didn't think so. So go have a seat somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't about to scheme right. on nothing.
No.
Y'all, we felt really strongly about this closest corner.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Have we belabored our point?
Should we wrap
yes,
it up?
Yes, we have. Yeah. So please, if you
have any more parenting questions,
have
for
any
sure.
more questions,
don't ask us.
Please don't, but
we
please
be
submit
one
them.
Band, one sound.
We are, because that was a whole hot daggone. First of all, that was a nice segue to the, that was better than the Coast Coin question. But anyway, if you have any submissions, please make sure to email us at WKUtogether@gmail.com or at what keeps us in our DMs, respectfully, please. Mm-hmm. So then that way you don't get that response that I just gave. Yes. That was too much.
Okay. So it's time for a meme of the week. Okay.
I still like it when we do it with our mouths first.
So this week's meme of the week comes from Brassy Bra. And the person's name is She's Dead Sosan, I think. Okay. And so it says, can't help feeling that if dick size was as obvious as boob size, there would be a hell of a lot less men talking shit. Oh, hi, baby. Perfect. Yes. Okay. Go in the kitchen, go get us, and that red bag was your snack. Okay, and then go back downstairs. Go back downstairs.
That's a clip.
Not mommy.
Speaking of men talking shit.
Oh my gosh. Timing was impeccable.
Trey, do you see it? Okay, get it and then leave, please.
And leave. You need to leave.
Huh? You don't see the red bag?
Oh. You need to leave.
Trey, do you see it? Okay. Okay. Hurry up, baby. Go back downstairs. We're almost done. Okay, love you. Close the door. Love you.
T-Rex.
Okay. Trey, close the door. No more questions. No more questions.
Sorry. I think it was correcting my dinosaur.
Oh, maybe it was. That was not a T-Rex. That's Brontosaurus. Stupid.
I don't think he added that last part.
He didn't. That was a
felt personal. You okay?
Interjection. You all right? From mom. All right. I think that wraps up meme of the week.
Yeah. And does.
Oh man. Okay. Well, it's time for After Shade. They want to affirm those have been bullied.
Yep. I'll start. Okay. In the word of Gracie Corner, do not be a bully. Period.
That was great. Very insightful. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yep. You're welcome.
Cutting edge. Cutting edge. I want to affirm a bully. Can I do that?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
I just want to affirm that, like, you have the capacity to look inwardly at your actions and hold yourself accountable. Like, no one needs to be, like, to call you out for bullying them before you can self-actualize and be like, hey, I probably could have treated that person better in this scenario, or maybe I could approach that differently in the future. I think it's important for you to have like self-accountability. It shouldn't require someone going on Instagram and creating a video, or someone writing you a critical review, or like escalating you in an email before you can realize that you could have approached situations better and to do better by people just because people need that.
Okay, I guess I'm going to affirm the people. I kind of want to affirm like maybe the Angel Reese's or even like the Amanda Seals of the world, that people have maybe made them a villain if that wasn't necessarily their intent or what they've been putting out. I think sometimes it might be an opportunity for you to look inwardly and try and figure out what you're doing wrong. But sometimes people are projecting on you, and it's not necessarily what you're doing or that you need to change how you're moving, but necessarily just changing how you are internalizing what people are putting onto you. And so I hope that people that are maybe not always digested well by other people, that you don't allow them to dim your light, and that whatever purpose that you have in this world, you still are committed to that. You're still moving forward. You still know that you matter. People look up to you. You're making a difference in this world, even if it might not be palatable to everyone, and that people like you matter, and that you still hold on to the fact that you are changing maybe the world and you're changing opinions, and that you can still do it in a way that feels honest to you.
Can I actually add on to that?
Yeah.
I think that you can also do both. Like you can like realize that some of it is projection, and some of it is like maybe like you need some tweaking in terms of like maybe it's delivery or maybe it's approach or like whatever it is, that it can be like both things are true at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's also important for you to like have that like self-identity so that you know which is which.
Yeah.
And just to like like maintain your light. Like even if people are like right about certain aspects of like just the delivery, like also remember that people are seeing like a snippet of you. Like they're seeing you in a very finite space and know nothing else really, and are making complete assumptions about your character and your personality based on only what they've seen and not who you are, because only like you and people who are close to you and see you on a more consistent basis really know that. So also try to like differentiate that from like what you internalize, because people don't actually know you. They know what you put out.
Yeah, for sure.
I think for me, what I want to affirm for our listeners are the ones who are receiving the bullying. I think that I would like to affirm for you all that there are times when in our lives, the loudest people in the rooms can be the ones who feel the most negative, or the ones where you feel like there's a void and you're not hearing anything in a way that in which you'd like to be able to hear it, or in the way in which you thought things were being should be done. And then life just gets can feel very heavy in those moments when they're not moving in the ways that you feel like they should be. So I want to affirm for our listeners today that even in those moments of when you are feeling bullied, or when you're feeling ostracized, or when you are feeling unheard, that you in those moments need to reach out to those who you do know can and have in the past lifted you up. Those are the people that you need to be focusing on. Those are the places that you need to be focused on. We talk about our affirmations, the affirmations of our own selves in those moments when we're feeling like others are not lifting us or doing the heavy lifting that we need them to be able to do. You got to turn back to those people who you know can. It may be family members. It may be friends. It may be colleagues who have worked with you before in your past and helped you get to another space. Those are the places what we really need to be able to turn back our lights to, reflect our lights on them so that it will reflect back on us. Because in those, if we don't, we'll stay in those dark places. We'll stay in those places of feeling like no one wants us around, or that we are unworthy, or that our time and our voice are not things that people want to hear, when that's not the case. And sometimes you do have to go back and to find those people to be able to reaffirm within your own self the things that you already do know. Sure, there is some reflection, I think, sometimes that we have to maybe make, may have to make some changes. But I think a lot of times when you're in the midst of being bullied, sometimes it's hard for you to be able to see anything light, refreshing, fun, something that reaffirms who you are. So I'm just affirming for our listeners to remember who you are in those moments. And if you can't find it yourself, go find those people who are going to reflect that light back on you so that you can shine even brighter later on.
Amen.
Boom.
Hallelujah.
All right. See you guys in 2 weeks.
All right, bye.
Bye. Bye.